Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Wednesday, July 24th, 2013. My name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Tonight we have our weekly report on Floridians Against Common Core Education with Diane Kikos. She's going to give us a full update on what's going on. And, of course, as I keep preaching, when anyone says Common Core Education, we have to say what it really is. Common Core is communism. That's really what this is, and people have to understand that. There's all sorts of things going on out there today. I'm not going to give any kind of real update. I'll let Diane get started on this right away. The only comment I have to say is that, you know, I'm so happy there was a baby born, another would-be king or whatever. But with all the problems we've got here in America, including Detroit and everything else, I hope the media will focus a little bit more on the problems we have right here, even though, you know, I'm happy the baby's 8 pounds and 6 ounces and healthy and all that good stuff. But it's time to get back to work here in America. On that note, Diane, it is all yours.
Oh, gosh. I almost don't even know where to start because even just today there has been so much about Common Core flying around. And so I guess what I'll do is start with our favorite person, Jeb Bush. He, in case you're not aware of it, he has a brand new website out there. He thought the foundations were not producing enough activity, I guess. So he came out with his own brand new website. And what really struck me as a former military parent, you know, ex-Governor Huckabee is supporting Common Core. And he's been very vocal about it. And they are focusing Governor Huckabee on the banner on this new Jeb Bush website for Common Core. It's called Conservatives for Higher Education. So,
oh, my goodness.
If they're conservative, we need to find another word that elevates us above conservatives, because I don't find anyone serving on this new website. They list their supporters, and as usual, it's a who's who of everybody that has slid so far over to the left. And we have, and I just had it laying here. Hello. You wouldn't believe everything that I've printed out that's gone on just in the last few days, and today has just been absolutely enormous. What the heck did I do with that? But you have, you know, Condoleezza Rice is supporting Common Core, but then, you know, Jeb Bush for his Foundation for Excellence has the president of CFR serving on there, and it was Condoleezza Rice and the president of the CFR that came out a couple years ago and said that they thought the CFR should take over education because the Department of Education wasn't doing a very good job. But, you know, you have people like Senator Lamar Alexander from Tennessee. You know, he just loves children. And ever since he served as the Secretary of Education and was under Reagan's administration, he's the one that first made the statement that our children should be under the government's control from cradle to grave. That's where that statement really came from. I mean, he's a really nice guy. And then, you know, we have our people from Achieve on here. We have Craig Barrett, the former CEO and chairman of the board of Intel. And you got Bill Bennett, you know, former education secretary. I used to think Bill Bennett was a really cool guy, but he's not. And Chester Finn, you know, he's always had his fingers in there, and he he was an assistant secretary of education under Reagan, and I just, when I look at the people that served on the education committee department under Reagan, it's like I don't understand what was happening since he ran to eliminate the department. But anyway, Chester Finn and
Diane, let me ask you one quick question. Now, what was the name of the group, Conservatives for Common Core? What's the new group or new webpage?
It's the name of the site is Conservatives for Higher Education, and the website is higher.corestandards.org. It's on the Facebook page too, in case anybody forgets what it is or misses it. It is on the Floridians Against Common Core Education Facebook page.
Okay. The other thing that I just want to comment real quick, and then I'll be quiet and let you finish your update. You know, this is something that kind of bugs me. Huckabee, he's not a governor anymore. So I don't know why do we keep calling these people? It's like they're not nobility. This is part of the problem that these people get. Once they are in some kind of public office, say, you know, Speaker Gingrich. You're not Speaker anymore, so why do we always seem to elevate them to that? But when it comes to Huckabee, a while back I sent an email out telling people he was out promoting Common Core and asking everybody to go to his site and to bash him for it and let him know that they don't agree with him doing this. But Huckabee is a GOP diehard. He does whatever the GOP tells him, and unfortunately that's what this, I think, comes down to, his alliance with the GOP, which, again, the GOP is behind this garbage just as much. So, anyway, that's my two cents for right now.
You know, you would think that Huckabee had a little bit of brains. I mean, the Republican Party's never done him any favors. They never supported him when he ran, and I was just telling Donald last night when we were talking about Huckabee, and I said, you know, I guess I should have listened closer to Sean Hannity in the 2008 primaries, because he just slammed Huckabee all over the place for things that he did when he was governor, and it changed the whole perspective on the kind of person that he was. But what gets me is what he's touting as his reason goes along with this reasoning for part of why we need the data tracking, is that if our children move from state to state, you know, and then they can access this information more easily than transmitting it through an email or just handing it to the parents in a manila envelope or something, you know, now it needs to be in Utah in this big building. But what it says on this banner is, children of military families will not fall behind when their parents who've chosen to defend our freedom are asked to move from Fort Benning, Georgia to Fort Sill in Lawton or Vance Air Force Base in Enid. Okay. Well, first of all, let's look how the military has really changed. First of all, the Air Force and the Marines and the Army are not, they don't move their families that often. They just don't do it. And the Navy, you know, they used to move them every 3 years, but they're not moving them that much either. And I'm here to tell you, my kids moved from state to state. They bounced from New York to California to Illinois to Florida to California to New York, back to Illinois, Ohio, all over the place. One of our daughters actually went to a different high school all 4 years of high school in different states. And she graduated. What the states teach is really not that different. And to use this as an excuse or a reason, as they're going to call it, to push Common Core is absolutely sickening. And Huckabee should be embarrassed. So to me, if we leave off the governor and put the reverend back in front of it, of which he's also supposed to be, so now I'm going to assume that you're like all these other ones out here right now that are preaching social justice from the pulpit.
Yeah.
Because this is bald-faced lies. This Well, I shouldn't expect anything else when it's coming from them that get together like that. You have on this, these supporters on this new website, you also have Philip Handy. He was the co-chair of Romney Ryan's 2012 National Education Policy Committee in his run for president. If you'll remember, he came out very vocal in support of charter schools. And then when they first started talking about Common Core and we didn't know what it was all about, one of the things that disturbs me on the supporters is Florida Senate Education Chairman is now John Legge instead of David Simmons. I mean, I'm glad it's not David Simmons anymore. But I thought when we talked to John Legge up there last session that he was a little panicked when he realized that Common Core were going to be touching his children in his charter school and the ones that are getting homeschooled. And I thought maybe we would be able to eventually bring him around, but I guess it's more important that he has the support of Jeb Bush, who it says that if you're running for office for the first time and you don't have his support, you won't get elected. And if you're running for re-election and don't have his support, you won't get re-elected. You got to have Jeb Bush in your pocket. So voters, you need to really be looking at what you're voting for. I was trying to see. Oh, if you have State Farm Insurance, they're endorsing Common Core also. And, of course, the Fordham Institute and our favorite, the National Chamber of Commerce. Of course, they're in there knee-deep, too. Well, let's talk about H.R. 5. Seems to be that there were an awful lot of people got awfully excited about our Student Success Act. I can almost tell you this is probably the first legislation that I've seen come out of the House of Representatives that I will applaud the Senate if they don't approve it. Everybody immediately got all cushy and gooey and like they were pulling marshmallows that, oh, look what they did for us. They mentioned Common Core. Yeah, they did. What they didn't do was say they were going to do anything to stop it. What they said was that they had put in place to keep them from doing what they've already done in the future. Everything is related to the future. It didn't stop the data tracking. It didn't stop Common Core. We had letters out there asking the Education Appropriations Committee to defund Race to the Top so he couldn't give out any more grants. What did they do? They gave him another $14 million just for that. I mean, you can go and you can look at the budget online. There's a breakdown of how much money goes where, and that's how much more he gave to Race to the Top. So Arnie Duncan, an old bummer, are going to be out there offering you more hooks. And I have to tell you again, anytime you take anything from the federal government, you owe them. You owe them your soul. You do what they say, or you're cut off. As it is now, they're threatening you that they'll, threatening the states, they'll take their Title I money. And they already tricked us in making us believe that the data tracking was through the Common Core standards, and it's not. It's attached to the Race to the Top money. People need to wake up, and they need to start reading these bills and reading this legislation and sit there and read it and take notes and then read it again and take more notes and read it again and take more notes and start asking questions. You've got to read between the lines and see where it's coming from. They, in H.R. 5, they are reauthorizing and expanding the charter school program. Now, why would they be pushing federal legislation for charter schools. Do I have to remind you that we go back to unelected school boards? That's taxation without representation. This has been in the works for over 50 years. People have to understand that this whole thing is a plan, and if you don't want to believe what's in place, fine. Go stick your head in the sand and stay there. Just don't take the rest of us down with you, because that's what's going to happen. You have to realize what their motive is, and it's New World Order, period. However they achieve it, be it with communism, fascism, socialism, any ism, that's the way they're going to do it. Look at the history of Cuba. Look at the history of Russia. Look at the history of any South American country that's now communist. Look at New Zealand. Look at Australia. Look at how they did it. They did it through education and dumbing down the children using social justice and touchy-feely things and teaching them values rather than academics. They don't want them smart. They want them to be out there and follow them so that they just get up in the morning, go to work, make their money, pay the big wigs their taxes, and go back home with the elimination of the middle-income people, because there won't be any more. They're also allowing Title I funds now are going to follow the students. Well, I kind of thought that's what was happening anyway, because when they fill out the paperwork and it goes into the school board, so maybe I was wrong. But they're also setting it up so they can use that money for tutoring. Did we not have some news reporting about 6 months ago on the tutoring racket here in Florida and how much money they were making off of that because the Department of Education was not paying attention to what was going on, a little bit like the notary public. It ensures parents to have access to meaningful information about their school's performance and encourages communities to hold schools accountable. Excuse me? Excuse me? Do we really need the federal government to tell us that? Do we need that in a federal education bill? We already had that right by the individual states. We already had that right. We don't need the federal government pulling us in more, making us feel good and all cushy. How about the student success part of it? They're repealing the AYP and empowering the states to develop their own accountability systems that will more accurately evaluate student achievement. Hold on a minute. I thought Common Core was doing just the opposite. We needed to have everything on a national level. Everybody had to be the same. Every time they open up their mouths, it's like they're pulling it from both ways. You can't have it both ways. Either you're given control to the states or the federal government has the control. Now, the bill looks like, on the surface, that they are giving more authority back to the states. Well, the states already had it. The states just haven't been fighting to keep it. It's going to eliminate federally mandated intervention for underperforming schools and instead allows the states to determine the best way to raise the bar. They're going to what? They're going to allow the states? They don't have the authority to tell the states what to do. If the states aren't individually doing it, it's their own fault because they already have the authority. Has anybody read the Constitution lately? Creating a local academic flexible grant that gives school districts the freedom to use federal funds to meet their local priorities. Oh, so they're just going to give you the money and there's not supposedly going to be any strings attached? I'm going to say what I've said before. How about if they keep their money and we keep ours? But you see, they're not going to have any if we keep ours. They don't give us that much back. No, they use it for buildings in Utah. How about the gigantic new NASA building that they're building? How about $100 million vacations for our president? Anybody listening to this radio show ever been to a $100 million vacation? Okay. Now we can touch on Common Core. And I know there's been some arguments about this. But if you're not going to open up your, you want to be the monkey, and you don't want to open up your eyes and your ears, and when you learn, use your mouth to spread the truth. It's when it flows over you and you say, God, I wish I'd have paid attention.
Right.
Prohibits the Secretary of Education from coercing the states. Doesn't say they're going to repeal his coercing. Oh, I can't even talk. It says it's going to prohibit him from doing it in the future. Into adopting specific academic standards, including Common Core, and imposing conditions in exchange for the waivers of the K-12 law. In the future, it doesn't say anything here about repealing. Absolutely nothing. But you see, the head of the education and committee up there, John Klein, what really makes me sad is that he knew about all this in 2010 because he wrote a letter, and it's on the internet, you can find it, I'm not lying to you. He wrote a letter to Duncan regarding basically the student privacy. That was his biggest thing, the data tracking that was going on. Because he knew it was attached to the Race to the Top money, something we didn't know. This was in February of 2010. And evidently, according to this letter, he had already communicated with Duncan because he starts out by saying, Dear Secretary Duncan, as part of what you described as a cradle-to-career agenda, the Department of Education is aggressively moving to expand data systems that collect the information on our nation's students. I'm concerned by the reports that are indicating the department's hasty pursuit of this goal could compromise students' privacy rights. Mind you, Senator Klein comes from Minnesota. I didn't even really think there were any conservatives in Minnesota. Klein goes on to say he's seeking Duncan's immediate reassurance that the department will work within the letter and spirit of the federal law by making student privacy the paramount priority in any effort to expand student data collection. Obviously, he either told Klein to go pound sand or he totally ignored him. Klein went on to say, as part of the Race to the Top, the department announced that grant awards will be based in part on the willingness of the states to expand statewide longitudinal data systems that include a broad swath of student information. The department mentioned that you, Arne Duncan, are particularly interested in applications in which the states propose working together to adapt one state's own data systems that may be used. In addition to using states' willingness to create such an interoperable student database as a criteria for federal funding, the department is reportedly playing a direct coordinating role in the development of such a multi-jurisdictional database. The department's effort to shepherd states toward the creation of a de facto, are you listening? De facto national student database raises serious legal, prudential, and constitutional questions. Congress has never authorized the Department of Education to facilitate the creation of a national student database. Well, somebody passed the funding for that building out there. To the contrary, Congress explicitly prohibited the development of a nationwide database of personally identifiable information under the ESE Act 20 U.S.C. 7911 and barred the development, implementation, or maintenance of a federal database of personally identifiable information, including a unit record system, an education barcode system, or any other system that tracks individual students over time through the Higher Education Opportunity Act. Fordham, and of course, I'm no fan of the Fordham Institute or Foundation or whatever, but their law center is pretty good. And they did a report on this and a study, and they concluded that the Federal Department of Education's effort to promote interoperability between state student data systems appears as a backdoor means to create a national database of children's information without the express authority under No Child Left Behind to do so. The lack of a privacy policy debate is of major concern. One would expect the federal government's role in the interoperable standards to be minimal, since No Child Left Behind does not authorize national aggregation of data and interoperability functions to make the sharing easier. Fordham also report raised serious questions about the prudence of pushing states to expand the student data systems at a time when existing data systems are highly vulnerable to invasions of the student's privacy and do not appear to comply with the privacy requirements of FERPA. Well, of course, we all know now that Obama managed to get FERPA gutted. But he didn't do it through Congress, people. He did it by regulation through the Department of Labor. Why did he go through the Department of Labor? Because Common Core is outcome-based school-to-work standards. Further clouding the department's commitment to the student's privacy, Inside Higher Ed reported earlier in February of 2010 that the department's chief privacy officer, Paul Gammel, was recently fired by the assistant secretary, Carmel Martin, after he argued that the administration was throwing its weight and money behind building statewide data systems as an end around the congressional ban on a federal system. Gammel also reportedly warned department officials that the requirement that states link their post-secondary data systems to those of state workforce agencies, did you hear that? State workforce agencies violates the federal privacy law as it's currently written. You know, it's only been, well, Obama stated from the very beginning he couldn't guarantee that they wouldn't be able to hack into the Utah system. And it's just been a couple of months ago that we discovered that someone had hacked into the state of Florida's data system, and it took the officials, powers to be, in Tallahassee 2 weeks to realize they'd been hacked. They have no idea what was taken. Klein goes on to say that in light of these serious concerns regarding the impact of the department's activities on student privacy protections, he was asking for his written response. I don't know if he ever got one, and I cannot find one online. But this is why, to me, a lot of the manipulations have been going on through the back doors. So now I'm going to go back to Jeb Bush's new website. And he's using it to put out his statements on the myths versus the facts and who's right and who's wrong. And, of course, they're right and we're wrong. They word their answers in such a way that you really begin to question yourself. You need to go read them and look at them and read them again and read them again and come up with your own answers to what they're putting out there. I'm not going to take up the time now and go over all of them. Some of them, the questions are absolutely ridiculous. And they're taking things that have come from the American Principles Project and the report that they did and gave us, and that's what they're really pinging on, is their report, not so much us. If you go online, you can pull up the Congressional Budget Office cost estimate for H.R. 5. The CBO is estimating that H.R. 5 would ask for appropriations of $22.9 billion in 2014. We don't have any money, people. And an additional $114.3 billion from 24 to 2018. Implementing this bill would also give them discretionary costs of $85.6 billion from 2014 to 2018. They have a breakdown on this report. Title I's getting a lot of money. I know it takes a lot of money. I haven't looked at the applications in several years. I don't know what the breakdown is and how they apply for it. Unfortunately, Title I is just another way of the federal government making the American people beholden to the federal government. Beholden, I should say. There's money for education for the homeless. There's an impact aid, not sure what that is. Parent engagement and local flexibility. I love all these fancy words that they put to things, but they don't really tell you exactly what they are. Of course, here again, we're not supposed to know. What's interesting to me is the charter school program. Now, I know there are a lot of you that believe that the charter schools are the best thing since peanut butter. And I really am sorry that you believe that, and I'm really sorry that you haven't paid attention to the numerous times that I've talked about charter schools and what is wrong with them. Charter schools are being used as a deception. The powers to be are telling you that it's an alternative to rotten traditional public schools. And I'm going to remind you, charter schools get public money, taxpayer money. They are public schools. A lot of people like to think because they do have more lenient legislation on them than do the traditional public schools. So a lot of parents like to think they're moving their children to a private school. No, it's not. And some of the charter schools hire union teachers. Some of them don't. The unions really aren't crazy about it when it comes to the non-union teachers, but, you know, there was a statement made at one time that the unions will go as they need to if it means retaining control of their teachers. But the bottom line about charter schools, it's been in the works for years. The origin of choice in education is not grassroots America. It is the Department of Education and various public and private entities. That's why you can go out online now and you can put in Common Core and public-private partnerships, because that's what ACHIEVE consists of. Businessmen, powerful businessmen, very powerful. These people are using school choice, which charter schools are, as a catalyst to restructure the education environment. Are they empowering parents? No, because we all know what the government funds. The government ultimately controls, but you have to remember, you have no control in charter schools because they're unelected school boards. And that's the whole purpose. They'll be unelected, and the Department of Education and all these public-private entities out there can control what's going on. Why do you think the money that the Communist Chinese just invested last year through Governor Scott's Enterprise Florida went to charter schools? Because the taxpayers have no control. Not all charter schools are bad, and I'm not saying that. I'm saying the ultimate reason for pushing charter schools. I'm going to go back to my original description about this. Then Governor Jeb Bush, John Ellis Bush, by the way, and his brother, George W., brought No Child Left Behind into the state of Florida. They touted it as the best thing since peanut butter for our kids. And our kids dropped down and down and down and down, and none of us liked it. So Jeb Bush leaves office, his brother leaves office. Now all of a sudden, Jeb Bush is pushing charter schools. You guys need to get on the internet and look up President George H.W. Bush. And remind yourselves that while you were raising your families, what they were doing and how they were using public-private partnerships to intrude within the education of your children. This has been there for a long time. Nobody's hands are clean. It's not a party thing. They're all dancing around this. They've all got their fingers just drooling. They're licking their fingers while they're watching Common Core slide through here as the final nail in our kids' futures. You have to start asking the questions and insisting that you get answers. And speaking of which, we got notification that Don Gates, Senator, Florida Senator, Will Weatherford, President of the House, Representative Adkins from Duval County, Jacksonville, and Tony Bennett, our Commissioner of Education, are going to have some town hall meetings to debunk our bad feelings about Common Core. Well, we started finally making some phone calls because I and a couple others were concerned that we would show up at the town halls, and then if we wanted to ask any questions, they'd tell us, well, you needed to register in advance, so now you can't talk. So we wanted to find out for sure if we had to register to be able to ask any questions or if they were going to just let us do it by raising our hands. Well, my partner in crime, Debbie Gano, called Gates' office today, and they said they didn't know anything about it. She also tried to call Will Weatherford's office, and the phone rang off the hook. Nobody was there. But then again, that goes along with the blog posting that Bob Sykes did a few weeks back on Weatherford, because they're claiming that for all the money he's turning in on his tax returns, he's never anywhere to be found as to be working, whether it's in his congressional office in Tallahassee or his local office in his own district or at the business he claims that he's making all this money. Anyway, I called Janet Atkins' office. Her receptionist or staffer, whichever she was, she led me to believe it was Janet Atkins' office who initiated this. And since it's being held in Duval County and right on the very edge into Nassau County, that makes sense. They sent invitations to Gates, Weatherford, and Bennett to attend. Bennett's the only one that's responded. So my question to Weatherford and Gates is, what's the matter, boys? You can't stand up to what you're putting out? You're going to let Bennett go and just hold the whole thing? So I'm going to tell you what, he's going to get eaten alive. I haven't talked to everybody that's planning on going to these, but I guarantee you with the growing flow of homeschool moms and other moms that are between the ages of 30 and 50 and still have children in school that are fighting against Common Core, it might get pretty crowded. The first town hall will be at noon at the Betty P., as in Paul, Cook Nassau Center, which is actually part of one of the many places that Florida State has. It will be held in the Red Bean Technical Center. The address is 76346 William Burgess, that's Burgess Boulevard, in Yulee, Florida. Now, if you look in MapQuest, you'll see that the county line between Duval and Nassau County runs right up there by Yulee. So it's right into Nassau County. And then they're going to have another one I didn't even tell you the date, did I? It's August 6th, this one. And then on the same day at 5:30, they're holding another one at Fletcher High School at 700 Seagate, Seagate Avenue in Neptune Beach. I know many that are planning on going to both of these events and just making it a day in Duval County, or as it would be partially in Nassau County. Anybody's interested in wanting to carpool or have us start a carpool list for you, just let me know and I'll keep track for you and get the information out there. If you're not doing it yourself, if you feel you want to find out if there's a ride and somebody's got room in their car, let me know and I'll keep track and try to help you guys get together so that you can do this. Now, my objection, I always have another side, the negative side. Why are they holding these when most parents who are fortunate enough to have a job are at work? Why can't they do these at 7:30 at night? The same reason they hold the school board meetings early in the morning or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because they don't want you there. It's very sad, the number of school boards that hold their meetings at times when the very people that should be able to be there cannot because they're working. They do it in the county council meetings, too. That's so that they can hide behind those desks and they don't have to be held accountable by the very people that these things affect. And it's really a sad way of representation. I went on to GovTrack and looked up their summary on HR 5, and by the way, it is the Republican conference summary. The Democrats have not done one. And they talk about the entitlements and the funding for Title I through No Child Left Behind, and of course there are a lot of different Title I fund categories. I'm trying to skim this real quick because I didn't have a chance to. Here we go. The bill is eliminating and consolidating more than 70 existing programs under current law. It's also directing the Secretary of Education to identify those former employee positions associated with these eliminations or consolidation. I don't know, maybe we're going to pay them severance pay or something. Reduce the Department of Education workforce by the corresponding amount. It looks like we might even be able to save some money. See, that's one of the excuses they always use for not closing down the Federal Department of Education, is we'd put so many people out of work. Well, what do these people do? I don't understand. Why do we need PARC? Why can't our own Department of Education do the assessments? I mean, what would stop them from just having the software up there, whatever PARC is going to buy and that we got to buy and use and all this? And why can't we? We're already paying people to do this. I never could understand why they weren't scoring the FCATs, why we paid all that money out. Oh, that's right. That's right. Thrasher, Senator Thrasher's company, got the contracts through Pearson to do the FCAT scoring. That's right. I almost forgot about that. You don't want to forget spider webs, because there are a lot of them out there. As I stated earlier, the HR 5 is repealing the adequate yearly progress requirements. Those are online now. You find them where they put all the FCAT stuff. And it tells you whether the schools have improved or they haven't improved. Personally, I think they play with those figures, because a lot of stuff counts on those figures and whether they're maintaining their stability or whether they're falling down. The bill reauthorizes the charter school program and supports the expansion of high-quality charter schools. Okay, what are high-quality charter schools? Is that Charter Schools USA from Jonathan Haig, who got the award for being the, what was the title they gave him? Something most successful or the most important or something or other man in Florida last year. Why is that? Because they're all stuck together in this little ball with their ultimate goal. Charter Schools USA is making a lot of money out of this consortium of theirs. They're not doing this for nothing. H.R. 5 is also going to strengthen the magnet school program and the parent information resource center program. It's going to impact 5 existing programs with the Impact Aid program, making these provisions permanent, which is also part of the Title IV to Title V money. I have no idea what all these different Title I's are. You start branching out too much, and then you can't hold it all in. H.R. 5 maintains and protects state and local autonomy, prohibiting this, the imposing conditions, including conditions involving Common Core, to the standards and assessments. That's in the future. It's not repealing what's already been done. Congress gave them the money to do this. They took it. They didn't put any strings to how they should be spending this money. And I just got done reading Senator Klein's letter. He knew what was going on. So that tells me other people knew what was going on, too. So why didn't they put some conditions on the ARRA and tell them they couldn't use any of that money for that? They didn't do that. It addresses the summary that addresses the cost. You can go online to GovTrack, which you really should be signed up on GovTrack anyway, and so that you will get daily emails and you will see what's going on up there. This is where you learn when people like Sebelius is pushing through these backdoor bills to get a hold of your pre-K kids. Because they're already funding pre-K, daycare, pre-K, and that's great for working parents, that they're using the other working taxpayers' money to pay for this. But what's coming down the pike is mandatory pre-K. They want our 3-year-olds. They want our 4-year-olds. They want our 5-year-olds, because they make the statement themselves. They want them to be prepared to start school. Well, starting school has always been kindergarten. So if you're going to prepare the kids to start school, then you're going to have to start someplace, and that's what they've been talking about, pre-K, even in Common Core, pre-K. If you read... when I was talking to you a few weeks ago about the National Sexuality Education Standards, page 6, totally part of the Common Core. Totally. This is taking over everything that parents have had control over with their children. How about the flyer that's been being put around through the schools across the country through massresistance.org. And I'm sitting here looking at this, teaching kindergartners about gay families. It's a national homosexual movement funded by federal and state tax dollars. You feel real good about that? And this poster that I'm looking at is being given out to all teachers and school administrators, and they're going to have wall posters that they can hang up, which are being put out by the 2013 Gleason, the gay, lesbian, transgender, whatever, at their conference in Cambridge, Mass. And this is a picture that has a school building. It's like a little kid's drawing. And it says, who's your family? And you have mom and dad and a little kid. And then you have 2 dads and a couple of kids. And then you have 2 moms and a couple of kids with a doggy. And then you have, looks like it's supposed to be a Hispanic dad, a black mom, mixed children. What has that got to do with gay families? for me, what they're doing is confusing these kids. I know there was a story that I read or something that I just happened to catch on TV, because I don't watch TV that much anymore, where this child was unfortunately being razzed at school because she had two moms. And the kids that were, and I guess you can call it bullying, that were bullying her about this were being raised in Christian homes. Now, I'm not saying bullying is correct, but they have their beliefs, and this little girl's been made to believe that her family life is right. And so now you have two powers coming together that are totally in conflict of each other. This is why the federal government should any government, should never be involved in social issues, because you will never get everyone to agree. Never. You will always have people with different ideas when it comes to social issues. So what are they doing through Common Core? They're teaching social justice, social values. I talked a couple of weeks ago about the book for first graders, Voices, and they're supposed to put out there, the question is, Mom, how's it get worded? Mom says to John, no, I can't even remember how it's worded. Anyway, the way it was worded was for Johnny to clean his room, and the blank, you had the choice between tells or nags. Well, this is for first graders. Their emotions always at that age go to the negative. It's a proven fact. So now they're going to go for the nags. My mom nags me to clean my room. What groundwork does that lay to his psyche? And then now you've laid a format for separation between the parent and the child. Oh, my mom nags me all the time. That'll become the common word. We are starting to get results. There was a story came out today in the Baltimore Sun that their state test scores have declined significantly under the new Common Core standards. See, Common Core standards are a standard. The standard is the goal to which you're supposed to be implementing everything that falls below. The standards drive the curriculum. Nobody knows who's doing the curriculum. Everybody's using something different. The parents didn't even know their children had been giving Common Core related curriculums in our first and second and third grades for the last 2 years. And that brings me to another question. If Common Core is so good, Jeb Bush, Bill Gates, and all your cronies, tell me why you did it all behind closed doors. Why all the secrecy? To me, that's the paramount question. Why did you hide behind it? Why were we, the parents, grandparents, and effectively the taxpayers who are going to pay for all of this, why were we not given the opportunity to know what was going on? Hidden. Maryland students' test scores declined significantly for the first time in a decade. Now, that previous decade, they've been on No Child Left Behind. A drop officials attributed to the beginning of a tumultuous time in public education that will bring widespread changes to what is taught from kindergarten through high school. The drops in test scores for both elementary and middle schools were seen in nearly every single solitary school district in Maryland, and as great in the higher performing districts of Howard and Montgomery counties as they were in Baltimore City. Baltimore's bad these days. Students did worse, you ready? In math, with state scores dropping an average of 4% points at both the elementary and middle school grades. What do we blame that on? The teacher? Do we blame it on the math you're shoving off on them? I will tell you, I gave a talk last week, and I had a gentleman that asked me to explain this new geometry. Well, I couldn't do that. First off, I'm not a geometry person. Never did like it. I'm a math person, but I'm not a geometry person. And so I went online digging. And, of course, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, where in the heck am I going to find this? If they tried it in Russia in 1950 and nobody could figure it out, where am I going to find anything? Well, I did find something where somebody had broke that out, and I gave it to Donald to analyze. He said, it's ridiculous. It's going to confuse them. Even something as, and I think he was working on a fourth or a fifth grade problem, and they were trying to tell the kids that if you brought two lines together, you were forming an angle. Wait a minute, I don't picture two lines coming together to meet in the middle as an angle. I thought they were just a straight line. He's not done with this. Maybe he'll be done with it by next week, and I can give you some answers on some of this stuff that these kids are going to be learning in math. This, the only increase was seen in the middle school reading, which rose 1.3 percentage points. Elementary school reading had dropped 2 percentage points. The Common Core, and they just go on to explain exactly what it is. The new tests that align with the new curriculum are still being developed, so the state is using old Maryland school assessments, which was given to 300,000 students in grades 3 through 8, and don't necessarily test what the students have been taught. Here we are again. They set a goal. They had to start this all by 2014, have everything in place. We don't have the tests yet. You don't have the software done. Nothing is ready. Our children are getting fed this garbage piecemeal by piecemeal by piecemeal. And these are people that are supposed to know what they're doing. You got anything to say, Sally? I feel like I'm just talking to
There's been times when I'm ready to cut in there, and I said, well, I'm going to let her keep going because she's covering all the facts. And it's so true. People have to understand what this really means. And, you know, it's the parties, you got to understand, you cannot trust any of them. You know, I find it so ironic as the GOP, which we can see, Huckabee and John Ellis Bush and this other, you can see these key so-called conservatives, and of course they're saying calling it conservatives for higher education. How many times has the GOP been out there saying we need to get rid of the Federal Department of Education? And we should. It's not the federal government's role for education. Yet what is the Republican Party doing? They're out there flocking. And I see things out there that say the GOP is against Common Core, but yet I see these key players out there in the GOP who are pushing it. So the GOP has the biggest identity crisis, I think, going out there on just about any issue. But it just amazes me when it's like, how can the GOP even come close to supporting Huckabee saying this kind of stuff when they're supposed to believe in smaller government? And this is absolutely unconstitutional to the federalization of education, the communistic takeover of education. It's so despicable. And yet the Republican Party as a whole, How come they're not coming after Huckabee? Huckabee is a diehard GOPer. He did whatever he had to do so he could be a keynote speaker at that convention and stuff like that.
Because he latched on to Jeb Bush and his players. So maybe
of course, when we go,
you know, if Bush runs for office, maybe he's looking for a place in Washington. I don't know.
I don't know, but again, the GOP, at what point, I mean, are they ever going to, of course, that's probably the trick question here. Let's see. Let's go back to the history of the Bush family. Communism. North American Union, Agenda 21, Hitler, and then, of course, education. So does the Republican Party, are they really this stupid about the communistic attitudes of the Bush family? In the course on the other side, the Democrats, you're supposed to care about the working class, it's supposed to care about the rights of the individual. They don't do that either. So, I mean, they're both all screwed up. There's no two ways there. But the GOP supposedly is this conservative, smaller government, state rights, blah, blah, blah. And then they do this stuff. It makes no sense. Are these people on drugs or what?
Well, I don't know. I kind of joke around that they've been through Manchurian candidate school.
Yeah.
That's kind of given them an excuse. I just watch everything that they're not doing, and I don't know how to answer you, because I have not seen them pass or not pass anything that the people have requested. This about immigration should not be going on.
Oh, yeah.
The majority of the taxpayers, registered voters in this country do not want this. And our elected officials do not care what we want. The irony, if they bring all these people in, and I was listening to Mark Levin last night, and I wanted to jump through the radio and give him a hug. It's like, don't these idiots understand that by passing an immigration bill and doing this amnesty, they're putting themselves out of office?
They truly seem to be too stupid to figure this out. It's just amazing. But like I said, are they on drugs? What is it with these people? It's just amazing to me that they can be this stupid. Ignorant, whatever you want to call it. It's like, we got to get the Hispanics because that's the only way we're going to get elected. No, it's on both sides. It doesn't matter. The Republican Party think, well, we have to go get, you know, Rubio's fans. We have to get them. We have to suck up to the Hispanics. We don't care about Americans. We just care about Hispanics. And on the other side, which little by little you're hearing all this, unions kind of getting in there now too. Like, you're destroying the middle class. I thought you cared, the Democrats, I thought you cared about the middle class. Why are you destroying them? These people are, you just got to realize it's truly the total takedown of this country. And I was going to start faxing. I was going to take the copy of, some type of summary or general overview of the fall of Rome. And I'm going to cross out the fall of Rome and put the fall of the United States, because that's us. We are destroying our country right here. And so many, so many Americans are so clueless. And those who actually have a clue, it's definitely difficult to do stuff. But people really have to make a decision. Do you want this country to survive? Are you willing to sacrifice for this country? Or are you just going to hand over to your children and your grandchildren, and you're going to put them into China? Because China's taking over this country as it is. And most people don't even seem to know that's happening right now. I mean, they kind of say things about it, but they don't truly believe it's happening. It's like, you know, how many times you got to be hit upside the head, people, to wake up? Or you're going to wait, you're going to realize it when it's way too late, and you know what, you don't have rights anymore. And, you know, it's just amazing. It's the whole thing.
Wait till they find out, you know, when they really get out there digging and find out how much of our land the Chinese already own. You know, most of our national monuments, our parks, now that's not even ours anymore. I mean, and the federal government keeps taking over. There was a gentleman on the radio today on Hannity's show, and he was talking about, you know, all the shale around the country, and to where we'd have enough, we could make enough oil to, we'd have 100 times what Egypt has or anybody over there. And yet they won't issue any, what do they call it, so that they can do their research and dig on those. The federal government, they won't let them go do a permit. They won't let them go out there and do it. I don't know. Boehner has been such a disappointment to the people of this country, and I can't help but say, wait a minute. But he wasn't that way before he became the head of the House. So what happened? Have they got something on him? I mean, do they have something to blackmail him with? Is that where some of these people all of a sudden end up being somebody different? I mean, why are you worried about it? This country doesn't care what you've done. They excuse Wiener time after time after time. Yeah. They excuse all these people. They don't care. People in New York are going to elect him mayor. They don't care what he's done. They don't care that his wife is and her whole family are active members of the Muslim Brotherhood. People in this country don't care about that stuff. But that's what's killing us. Mm-hmm. Because they don't care about that stuff. We're back to social justice and fairness for everybody. Well, wait a minute. That comes after self-preservation. And that's gone. Had you heard about Thrasher's letter that's out there? You know, he had to jump on Common Core. And he comes out and saying that, you know, he knows that there's been a lot of conversation regarding this. But myself and former chairs of the Republican Party, isn't that sweet? And they sign all their names on here, John Thrasher, Carol Jean Jordan, former Republican Party of Florida chairman, Al Cardenas, former RPOF chair, Tom Slade, former RPOF chair, Van Poole. Hey, guys, have you read the standards? How about if I give you a test on the standards and we'll find out if you know what the heck you're talking about? But he's out here. Now, listen to this. Florida once ran one of the worst public education systems in the nation. Now, as a result of conservative education reform based on stronger accountability and more choice, we have become a national leader in boasting student achievement. What? He must be referring to No Child Left Behind. Even so, our academic standards currently do not set the bar high enough for children to be globally competitive. Stop. No. Why aren't they telling us about Japan and China and Sweden and some of these other global countries that have found that national standards don't work? Our kids aren't coming. They all learn at different paces. They all mature at different. Everybody's not alike. There's a reason for that. But no, they want to nationalize everybody. What they want to nationalize is not the education. They want to nationalize the dumbing down to make them idiots, so that they have them in place, so that when they're 13 in the eighth grade, they can decide whether or not they want to go a vocational career or if they want to go to college. But hey, guys, you know what you're not being told, and you need to read the fine print. If they decide to change their mind from one to the other, if, say, Johnny chooses he wants to be an electrician, but by the time he gets ready to graduate from high school, he decides, no, I'd like to be an electrical engineer, you know what they're going to tell him? Pound sand. You weren't in the program. There's no classes out there for you to get any remedial training to be able to switch. No, you're stuck. You're going to the fields. Or the other case in point is you pick one or the other, but your psychological profile does not fit what you want to do, so they'll decide exactly what you're going to do. They'll put you where you want. So then what do we have? more brown shirts. We have little robots walking around that don't argue. Oh, yeah, you know, these are the same kids that go vote. They might know who they're going to vote for, but they don't know why. Or maybe they know why, but they don't really know who it is they're going to vote for. Shoot, most of them can't even tell you who the president or the vice president of the country is. They just know whether they're a Republican or Democrat. They don't know their names. They don't have a clue. Because what they're being taught now in school is Heil to Obama.
Yeah.
The kids sing songs to praise him because he's so good. Thrasher goes on
King
to
Obama.
Say, yes, Thrasher goes on to say the governors recognized this problem 15 years ago and began the process that eventually led to states collaborating. Let me tell you a secret. One of my inside informers gave me this week. And now I know, I'm pretty sure this is why the governors all bought into this. Because, let me get my correct paper here because then I'll have all my ducks lined up properly. I did my completed my timeline last weekend. And in 1995, the NCEE, which of course is Mark Tucker, took over the school implementing of outcome-based education. And 40% of ninth graders didn't make it through high school. And most middle and high school scores remained flat or declined. Outcome-based education. Teaching values. I can make it whatever I want it to be. Not really learning. That's where the beginning of your experiment was, but I will tell you that they did experiment with Common Core a long time ago. We just never knew what it was. In 1996, six governors and six CEOs of major American corporations, and I believe those are the same people sitting on Achieve's board today, formed the planning committee for the National Education Summit. They adopted a policy statement calling for all states to establish internationally competitive standards, assessment tools, and accountability systems within 2 years. In addition, the business leaders committed to take into consideration the quality of a state's standards when making business location or expansion decisions. The policy statement also noted we will establish an external, independent, non-governmental effort, Achieve Incorporated, to measure and report each state's annual progress in setting standards. Thus, what they did, there will be an independent, non-accountable to the public entity to see that all states have assessments and accountability systems that are internationally competitive. American systems will just have to adjust to international standards. And whether any state has a business locate within its borders will depend upon the state going along with what Achieve deems necessary. For me, this states that everything that they did with the National Governors Association, and it was the National Governors Association and the CCSSO came up with, and we ended up with Achieve, put out there a raw grab for power for internationalization of education. It's outright extortion, and now I understand why they're referring to our children as their human capital. And it's already happening. If you remember, I told you, the governor of Pennsylvania got that letter from the CEO of ExxonMobil. You better get your troops in order, and you better get behind Common Core. Did you forget how much money we give to charity within this state? Did you forget how much money we spend in this state? How about if we just move out of your state? Sounds like blackmail or extortion to me. Support Common Core or else.
Yep.
This is exactly what they did. So then, later in 96, Achieve was founded by the governors and Fortune 500 CEOs and Gates money. To begin the threatening mode, IBM CEO Lou Gerstner, and he's still on the Achieve board, said his company is the largest in the state. He was addressing North Carolina at the time, and that we could easily not open any plants in this state if they don't comply, or in any state. In 98, Achieve began the National Standards and Benchmarking Project. And then in the year 2000, the United Nations set up and started pushing their Education for All the Americas, the regional framework of action. But what it was really a cover-up to what they already had in place. And that's basically what Common Core is. If you go read, go to their website, all you have to do is read what Education for All in the Americas is. It's there. You can read it. The Americas includes the United States of America. It's at the UNESCO website. And then we started working with Pearson and all this other garbage. If I can tell you that in, let me find the year, they used this education, it was in 1995 in Rochester. Previous Governor Hunt from North Carolina was a real player. Well, he liked being around Mark Tucker and all these people. And he was the vice chairman of the National Center on Education and Economy, the NCEE, which is Mark Tucker's little baby and has been for years. The NCEE virtually took over the Rochester, New York school system. And in May 7th in 1995, the city's Democrat and Chronicle newspapers wrote, 40% of ninth graders didn't make it through high school. Fewer graduates attained the state's more stringent Regents diploma. This was implemented by Mark Tucker's group with his form of outcome-based education, school to work, of which he wrote in his letter to Hillary. Most middle and high school test scores remained flat or declined. Ooh, didn't I just read that in that report from Maryland? Teams of administrators, teachers, and parents formed to improve schools often didn't work well together. That's what happened on the committees forming the standards. Middle schools created to cater to the needs of early adolescents were large, chaotic, and occasionally even violent. The mayor of Rochester said, we failed. The office of the New York State Attorney General stated that the NCEE is being investigated for the payments that they made to Hillary Clinton, who was sitting on the NCEE board at the time, under her Rose Law Firm of Little Rock. In addition, NCEE was named in the original version of the Oregon Educational Act for the 21st century. What do you think that is? It's Common Core. It's just had different names. I mean, when it was in Connecticut in 1977, it was Common Core Learning. When it was in Maine, it was Common Core Learning in the 80s. They've been experimenting with it. Cottage Grove High School, and I'm trying to find where this was. I believe that it was in Denver, but don't quote me on that. they did the pilot OBE project, outcome-based education, where they would earn their certificate of initial mastery. Ever seen that written anyplace? That's what your IB students get from IB. After 1 year, the school suffered a 22% dropout rate and SAT scores fell. I wonder if we take all this information and meet with Mr. Bennett and Mr. Weatherford and Mr. Gates, what response they're going to give for this. Oh, it's not the same thing? One of the students who at Cottage Grove High School was given the certificate of initial mastery certificate testified that she is the first person to achieve a CIM certificate, but she doesn't believe that there were standards when she was a freshman. All she did was watch movies. She had very little science and social studies. Her own goals were lost. She lost her self-esteem, didn't care about anything. She now feels she cannot get into college because of her experience with this pilot program. Now, I know I have friends that want to do a pilot program here in Florida to test it, but how is that fair to the kids? When you have all of this stuff in the background and you if you go out there and dig, you're going to find them. This has been tried. It's failed everywhere. It's in Bosnia. It's been in Bosnia since 2007. Actually, I found a spot that told us that it had been there longer than that. Actually, it had been there since 2003 under the name of Common Core, under the implementation of the United Nations UNESCO on page 14 of this link. It's out there. If you just want to take the time to go look for it, that's why I'm sure glad my husband cleans the house once in a while. You know, the corporation agreement that the National Governors Association and the CCSSO did calls for a worldwide global standard. What right do they have to do that? What right? Now, I'm going to tell you, I just read this in Jeb Bush's Myths and Facts sheet addressing this very thing. Wait a minute. The governors and the school superintendents in all the states are elected, and they do have authority, and most of these things are implemented through the school board, the elected school boards. Stop, Jeb Bush. You were the governor of this state. Do you not remember? Our commissioner of education and our state school board's not elected. They don't have legislative authority to do anything. But yet, Charlie Crist and Eric Smith came back from these stupid meetings, and they go to the state school board, and the minute they find out Jeb Bush is pushing it, oh, yeah, we're all for it, we're going to go. They go up to the Department of Education, they tell them this is where we're going to go. As soon as they get done with the standards, we'll give them to you, and you guys can change Florida standards. Agreeing to all of this, and they're not even written yet. The manipulative techniques were designed to conform human resources to the demands of the rising totalitarian world government. There is no doubt in my mind that is exactly what it is doing. No matter whether we call it manipulative education standards, Common Core, outcome-based education, No Child Left Behind, the schools of the future will be pressed into the socialistic shape of UNESCO and the NEA, of which I have a statement by the NEA when all of this garbage was going on, and I am looking for that because all of this good stuff that I got from my friend is just absolutely wonderful. This whole article actually appeared in the Orlando Sentinel in 1989, and they were talking about the SAT tests in the 60 scores had begun to decline. And social promotions had begun to rise. I guess that doesn't surprise us. Education had become a leveling process, but it was easier to level down than level anybody upward. That's a little bit like when Rabbi Lappin on one of Glenn Beck's shows a couple of years ago, and they were talking about Baal, and that everybody seems to think that Baal died because all of a sudden he just wasn't talked about in the Bible anymore. And they were talking about that hole that you can fall into, that black, evil hole. And I remember Glenn asking, well, why isn't it as easy, why is it so hard for people to come back when they fall into this deep, dark premise? And he said, because it's so much, it's always much easier to fall in than it is to dig yourself out. And these people know this. This is psyche garbage. The results of this shift in education emphasis are today obvious and alarming, and we are now hearing calls for national standards. Nationalization of education. We already at the time had national standards in the SAT and the ACT tests, along with the nationally standardized achievement tests that were given in certain parts of the country. But it wasn't really manipulated by the Federal Department of Education. Any meaningful national standards would have to involve specific content to be taught. That means a national test, and that in turn will mean national curriculum. Yet they're telling us we're not really getting a national curriculum. They're free to buy it any place they want to. Well, it still has to be based on Common Core, or they're not going to learn Common Core to be able to take the test. Many teachers would obviously teach to the test. Whoops. Isn't that what they were doing under No Child Left Behind? The chairman of the National Board for Professional Teaching Standards at the time, I remind you, this is 1989, who was the former governor of North Carolina. He's a piece of work, Jim Hunt. Described the board as the linchpin of a larger strategy to affect the transformation of our nation's schools. They never tell you what they're aiming to transform them to, just that they're going to transform them. What I found to be very interesting was one could do well to remember the words of past NEA, National Education Association Union, the bigwigs that have been around forever, and believe me, they have been communist to the core. Past President Catherine Barrett, George Fisher, Helen Wise, and John Rayer, who respectively stated, "We are determined, the NEA, to control the direction of education, to determine who will enter." Teachers, are you listening? Do we have any teachers out there? Are you guys asleep? "We are determined to control the direction of education, to determine who will enter, who will stay, and who will leave the profession. We must defeat those who oppose our goals. We will become the foremost political power in this nation." The board was the idea of Carnegie. Oh, don't you just love Carnegie? Which also persuaded the national governor several years ago that it would be appropriate for states to take over schools not meeting certain educational standards. Whoa. Carnegie again. For the most part, the Federal Department of Education issued a report in July of 87. The report's introduction said that the assessment can be used to both act like a carrot and a stick, to recognize and reward school systems that are doing excellent jobs and raising student performance, and in extreme cases, to intervene in districts and institutions that are not making the grade. I hope you guys are listening. The report also said that some school districts may be unwilling to meet their educational responsibilities, and in those cases, state intervention may mean replacing district superintendents and local boards with state-appointed officials. Whoa. Sounds like a couple of countries I can think of. So much for local control of your schools. Those calling for the takeovers might do well to remember Isaiah 5:21. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. We already have abundant research results available on how to improve reading, math, and other skills, as well as teaching methods and school disciplines. The Federal Department of Education just refuses to implement them. The problem is, and has been for some time, that the educational establishment has blocked any meaningful reform and now is set on a goal to nationalize the progressive education. Sex ed is one of their big basics. I'm going to remind you this was written in 1989, with which it has infected many school systems in the U.S. The inevitable nationalization of education that would come from setting a national standard in education must at all costs be resisted, and local control of schools must be mandated. How can you do that with charter schools and unelected boards? We're back in the circle again. I keep trying to tell you, if you want to learn, it's out there. You don't need to get it from me. Go ahead.
Let me tell you. I was out there on the Conservatives for Higher Standards Facebook page. And let me do one thing real quick while we're talking here. And I put out there, let's see, my comment that I had put out there was, Common Core is communism. I have lost all respect for Mike Huckabee. I always knew John Ellis Bush was a communist, just like his grandfather, Prescott Bush, who hated Hitler. But I never thought Huckabee was a communist. Common Core is communism. We need to end the Fed, Department of Education, not promote federal control of education. Common Core is communism. Common Core is communism. Well, then somebody says Conservative for Higher Standards. I don't really see the who gave the response because I sent it as a message. They came back and said, Sally, how on earth is Common Core in any way related to communism? That's absurd. So now as I'm responding back to this person, or attempting to, I'm trying to let's see if I can get this to go back to him, respond back to him with a link to the show so they can learn something. But that's what I heard out there. So would you like to give an answer? They actually think Common Core isn't communism? Did they not understand where the word common comes from? Communism, common property.
First of all, I'd ask them to identify themselves. And secondly, are they speaking for the foundation? Are they speaking for the website? Or are they speaking just because, I don't know, have you read the standards? If you've read the standards and you still think they're good for our children, then you're evil. All you've got to do is look at what this is supposed to do to our children. In the dumbing down process, why would anybody want our children spending 50% of their reading time reading instructional manuals? Does anybody think that that is going to inspire them to read? No, Jeb Bush wants to come back in his myths and facts and say, oh, they're going to get to read this, and they're going to get to read that, and they're going to get to read this. Well, wait a minute. The books he's listing, you read those in high school. But you already have it set up that 40 to 50% of the time in the lower grades is going to be the instructional manuals. You want them to learn reading that boring garbage? Most people that have to use them don't read them. if they need something out of them, they go find that section within them, and that's what they go for the time that they need them. They don't read those whole manuals. Nobody in the world does that. If they do, they're a nerd. I can't believe. Well, I want to remind. Do we really have anybody on there? Sal?
What's that?
Do we really have any listeners?
Yeah, we've got a couple of listeners, and they're not wanting to speak. I see them out there in the queue. The chat room has been a little bit slow, but this, again, I went to the Facebook page for this conservative crap about this education, Conservatives for Standards, and I went and I specifically was putting the message out there about Common Core is communism, and because they wouldn't let me post to it, I sent them a message. You know how some of them block, you know,
right.
They don't want us
bad
people posting the truth out there. Don't confuse the facts, you know, don't confuse them with the facts. So when I saw that they had responded to me on Facebook, I went ahead and opened it, and that's what they said. So I just sent them a post asking them to call in, and who knows, maybe they'll call in, press 1. If you call into the show, 347-857-4364, just make sure you press 1 so that I know you want to speak on the air. If you don't press 1, I just figure you're listening and I don't interrupt you and I don't bother you. So I did put that out there for them to call back. So we'll see if they call in.
Well, I hope they do. And as long as I'm on the NEA, I have this favorite video that I about once a month post on our Facebook page because for me, it is extremely telling of what the NEA is all about. And with the other stuff that I just read, to me it just points them out as to how selfish and power and controlling. But the statement that is being made on this video is by the NEA's general counsel, Bob Chanin. And this was at the NEA convention that year, and I believe it was in 2009. I'm not sure. But he was basically giving his farewell speech because he was retiring. And you have no idea how many times I stopped this video to be able to copy this word for word and make sure that I had it right because I was not about to misquote this. But he stated, in my opinion, the NEA and its affiliates, I guess that's the other NGOs and all these other, you know, like the NGA and CCC, FFO, I mean, we all talk in texting anymore. In my opinion, NEA and its affiliates are such effective advocates. Despite what some among us might like to believe, it is not because of our creative ideas. It is not because of the merit of our positions. It is not because we care about children. It is not because of a vision of a great public school for every child. NEA and its affiliates are effective advocates because we have power. And we have power because there are more than 3.2 million people who are willing to pay us hundreds of millions of dollars in dues each year because they believe that we are the unions that can most effectively represent them. The unions that can best protect the rights and advance their interests as education employees. Do these teachers really believe that the NEA gives one hoot about them? How can you listen to a statement like this at an NEA convention and believe that the NEA cares about you at all? They're raising their dues, you know. They've had a lot of people drop out of the union in the last couple of years. Their numbers have dropped drastically. They're not publicizing that to everybody. But to make up the difference, in money, of course, now they're raising their dues. I don't know why the teachers don't go out and do something about a union or a type of 501 or 401k or something similar to like businesses do when they're self-insured with health care. Why give it to these unions that take your money, they donate it to politicians you don't even like, you have no say-so in what they do with your money, they take vacations with it, they bankrupt your systems, they invest money in things that you might not approve of. Why not have some control over your money? Put it in your own bank account. I mean, nothing's making any money these days anyway, so it's not going to make much difference. Anyway, I found the piece of paper I was looking for earlier. That question, which is based on emotional manipulation starting with first graders, taken directly from the teacher's text, training children how to use emotional words. Question is, Joe's mother, blank, has to clean his room. And, of course, the choices are tells or nags. The correct answer that they are expecting is nags, because it is the emotionally best choice. Not to mention, it's conflict-producing between parent and children. These methodologies by teachers were being used in the 1960s in the early community organizers. Brings to mind Bill Ayer's Weather Underground teachers. You know, they're real touchy-feely people. Children not taught logic from the other, more mature part of their brain, but instead to trigger emotions. Kids cannot do authentic critical thinking until the age of 12 or older. Being asked to solve complex social problems with reading books they're using starting in the first grade is wrong. It's just plain wrong. And not only that, it's going to confuse them. Investigative math uses, and this is a form of math that's being put out by Pearson, who else? And it's called investigative math, uses groupthink as the group decides or discusses the best choices, not based upon an individual, but the collective. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't collective communism or socialism? Where's our writer on Facebook? This is the integrate math approach. I was trying to read the most shocking expose this writer had ever seen to prove without a doubt the manipulation of children's minds by the words they use in order to get them to influence others to their way of group thinking, which is the textbook truth defined by social justice and the writers of these books. See, these are all, for the most part, this everything these kids are getting is written by the far left. Everything is touchy-feely. Take, for example, all our young kids and how they're being given all this global warming stuff. We humans are so bad. We cut down all the trees. We're killing the animals. The trees and the animals are more important than the humans. Your parents are humans. They're bad. They're killing everything. They're ruining the earth. You start implanting that kind of stuff in pre-K through fourth and fifth grade, we're in trouble, people. This is really dangerous stuff. I know one of the things in one of the books that they used with this math was an example where a mother was explaining how her child cries when all the trees have to be cut down just to build us houses. That's evil. Humans are evil. We're supposed to leave nature alone. I'm sure most parents have experienced the thing when their kids first start school and the kids first come home and you say something to them and they go, no, Mommy, teacher says. Well, that's kind of what was behind the questions that would be asked. Why would you send your children off to complete strangers for 6 hours a day, 5 days a week? Which brings me to the next topic. Now in Florida, we are going to implement palm scanning so that they don't have to spend so much time in the lunch line. They take too much time. They want to lengthen the class time. For me, because I'm learning the neurological damage that's going to be done to these young children sitting at these computers 6 hours a day, they need that lunch break. Used to be, we got an hour. I mean, shoot, I went to school, I started at 8:30, we got out at 3:15 in elementary school, and we got an hour for lunch. And you know what? We were smarter. Today, I think they've got their lunchtime broke down. Some school areas, they talk about 20 minutes. I think that even includes the time you leave the classroom and you get to the lunchroom to get your lunch and sit down and gulp it down. But the point is, they are using the excuse of scanning our children's palms to pay for their lunches, to give them more time to extend the school hours. I just don't understand that reasoning. I suggest it's not from a smaller class environment, but the content of where their minds are coming from that they would do this to our children. The school board's reason for spending $234,000, that includes nearly $80,000 for 200 of the new, I can't even pronounce it, they're Japanese scanners, and the remainder for the software and upgrades and maintenance, is faster lunch lines have become a priority for the schools as they contend with overcrowding or squeeze lunch periods to increase class time and boost student scores. Well, wait a minute. I thought that's why parents were sending money in at the first of the month and then they were issued a card like a debit card and they could just slide it in. So now you've got the kids' iris scans, you've got the palm scans. What else you want? What else is it going to take? I don't know. I'm flabbergasted by everything that's going on, and I just figure all I can do is just tell people about it. But be honest with you, I don't know if I'll keep the radio show up if I don't manage to get anybody to listen, because obviously they don't want to learn, and I got enough people that I send the notice to this show out that there should be more than two or three or four or five people listening. I guess they don't want to know.
Well, the beauty is we people listen to the archive. So the live listens aren't nearly as important as the total listens. So the archive out there, and that's true of your Blog Talk Radio. There's a lot of talk radio going on out there across the board.
I know there is.
Really, there's the archive that's out there, and that's what I pay attention to. So the numbers are looking decent out there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I am just about talked out.
Just. Well, yeah, that's pretty good because we only got 6 minutes left. But I thought
oh my
that was
gosh.
Interesting.
Sometimes when you're having...
Well, and this is important information, and I tell you, people also, I do know people download this, and they also put links to their other sites, so we are getting a message out there, and just like even tonight, just I'm very curious, now it was a little bit late when I finally got this person and sent them the link and the call-in number here, because I'm sure that person wasn't looking at American Statesman Blog Talk Radio until I sent that. So I am hoping, and I put out there that this is a weekly report on education, on Common Core education, and yes, Common Core is communism. So I'm really hoping that some of these people who support Common Core will have the courage to come and join the discussion and tell us why it's so wonderful. Let's debate the facts about Common Core. Let's see if we can get some of those out there to talk about it. You know, let's see how much they really know or how much is just propaganda that they hear from the media, or whether they're in bed with somebody when it comes to the political process. I mean, like Huckabee.
Right.
It's so disgusting to think of Huckabee being for this. It just amazes me to no end.
Yeah, since the first time I heard him come out and endorse this thing, I thought, what? How do they do this? Is it really free will that they buy into this stuff, or is there some Manchurian candidate stuff going on? I don't know. I guess it's just me and my human nature. I just want to believe that everybody's basically good and they just don't, you know, buy into this stuff. I know there's people been raised all their lives to believe in Satan, and there are people that do, and they're mostly ones that are behind all this stuff.
Well, and I mean, there are truly people who sincerely believe communism is the best thing, you know, the best thing since sliced bread routine, and that's what they truly believe. And I mean, let's face it, you're in America, you have a right to believe in communism if that's what you want. What I don't understand is, if you like communism, why don't you go over to China? You know, I think North Korea needs some people. So if you believe in communism, why don't you seek out a communistic country instead of trying to destroy this one? That's my beef. But they don't want to go to China for some reason. Wait a minute, but they want to be the ones, the empire. They want to be the ones who are dictating to others, which of course will never happen. They're going to be one of the serfs just like the rest of us when it all comes tumbling down, and that's the really sad part. Some of them are too ignorant to even understand that part. But, I mean, if you are so inclined that you truly believe in communism, that the government should tell us when we're born, here's what you're going to do because you are public property. The child is the property of the community, the common property, communism, common core. You know, it's if that's what they truly, genuinely believe. But they shouldn't have to hide it. They shouldn't. Or are some of these people really too ignorant to not realize that they have been sold communism and they don't even know what it is? Just like how many don't truly understand, when you think of the idiots in Washington, D.C., and in all public office, how many of them have no clue what that Constitution is? Year after year, I mean, they violate that Constitution every day, yet you swore you weren't going to. You swore you were going to abide by it. But you don't even know what it is. I mean, it's just it's the whole piece. Just like there should be no Department of Education. You violate the Constitution by having that and destroying state sovereignty. You know, it's just the whole piece of it. So how much of it is pure ignorance? These people truly don't even know that they've been misled. I think those of us who have actually taken some time to look at the Constitution realize what's going on with it and are trying to protect it. And some of these people, I think, are the dumbing down has already happened.
Well,
we're down to like 1 minute left here. Yeah.
These people that claim that Common Core is not communism really should go out there and be reading the Communist Manifesto.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they've completed all of it now.
Yeah. They don't.
They're done.
They really don't know what communism is. They have no clue.
They don't.
And the Mike Huckabees out there, that's the ones that you really, it's like, wait a minute. They've got to be bought and paid for someplace. There's got to be some money trail or some power, something else that
right.
They've been promised. I just can't believe Mike Huckabee is this stupid.
Yeah, I can't either. Well, to those that joined the show tonight, I thank you. Be safe. God be with you. And God bless America. And we'll talk to you the next time. Thanks, Sally.
Well, thank you, Diane. And as she said, yes, God bless. Please, God bless the United States of America. And everybody listening, please be Americans. Stop with all the divisiveness. Think about what the Constitution is. Pick it up and read it. Study it. and understand what communism is. And, you know, take back our country. We've got to save it now. We're getting to the end here. It's going to be the fall of the United States if we're not careful here. On that note, thank you for tuning in, and we'll talk to you tomorrow night. Good night, everyone.